Hello, friends. Go into your closet and dust off your Buffett collection. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Cross the Gulf on a fast loop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Blame It on Buffett. I am doing a new episode for the first time in several weeks. If you listen to this podcast before, you know that I was moving, big move from Tucson, Arizona to Bend, Oregon. And so now I am here in Oregon, and my life's still kind of a mess. I still have boxes everywhere. Still not sure where my mic is packed away. So still on my headset, but I'm coming at you with a new episode, a new interview, new content. I'm happy to be back. I hope you all had a lovely month this past month while we were not, talking. I guess it's more me talking at you, but yeah, I hope things are going well for all of you. I wanted to say before we get into the interview, someone sent me a voice message on Anchor, which is super exciting, as the first person that's ever done that. If you're listening, I'm not going to say your name because there wasn't any way for me to contact you back, and I didn't want to say your name without you saying that was okay. But just know that I got your voice message. And first of all, thank you for using that voice message option. People who don't know about it, if you go to my Anchor page on for the podcast, there's a button that I think it just says message. If you click that, you can leave me a voice message like the same way you would leave a voicemail on the phone. So if you have something you want to tell me or a question, anything like that, you can leave it there. And instead of if you don't want to send me an email or whatever, just know that there's not like an easy way for me to reply. So I'll probably just address whatever you say on the podcast. If you are okay with me sharing your name, then please mention that in the voice message so that I know. And this person wanted to know if I had ever thought about saying like less on the podcast. And sir, I have thought about that. I do know that I say like a ton. It is a thing that many people of my generation have a problem with, and it's very difficult to not do it. So while I appreciate you mentioning it, just in case I didn't realize that was the thing that I did, I am very aware of the fact that I say like all the time, and I don't think I will be able to stop. It's really hard to change voice speech patterns that you've had your whole life, basically. And if I was going to try and not say it on the podcast, it would be like, hello, this is Blame It On, because I'd be so worried about focused on not saying it that I feel like it would just be a really unnatural sounding conversation. So that might be just as bad. So I appreciate you taking the time to reach out, but unfortunately, I don't think it's something I'm going to be able to change very well. I know that it's there. Anyone who finds it annoying that I say like a lot or that I say a lot, I feel you. I understand, and I will not blame you if you don't want to listen to the podcast because of that. I certainly know that that is an issue, and that not everyone really wants to listen to someone who says like all the time. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. I apologize that I probably won't be changing that, but it's just who I am now. But like I said, if that's not your jam, then that's okay. And I will totally understand if you don't want to listen. So, just wanted to take care of that little bit of housekeeping, but thank you again for sending me a voice message. Even if it's about something that I can't really do anything about, I just was really excited that you used the voice message button option because you were the first person. So thank you. So that's really the only thing. I you don't probably want to hear about all my moving life stories. So we'll just move on to the interview. My guest this week is Anthony Monaco, who is a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. Well, you'll hear all this in the intro, but he's really great. You're going to love him. And let's just go to the interview now. All right. Welcome to this week's interview for Blame It on Buffett. My guest this week is Anthony Monaco, who has many things going for him as a human being. I will just list a few of them right now. One, he is on the board of the Back to the Island Society. He's in charge of our ambassador program, which we will definitely talk more about. Two, he's in a business that involves boats. I mean, that's never bad, right? Boats are always good. Three, he is a huge Jimmy Buffett fan and has an insanely cool collection of Jimmy Buffett stuff. Anthony, did I miss anything important?
No, that covers it all.
Okay, that's it. That's the only things people need to know about you.
Exactly.
Tell me, could you tell me and the audience a little bit about your job again? Because I feel like you told me once, but all I remember is that involves boats.
Yeah, so I work for a boat manufacturer. I work at the factory here in Orlando, Florida. We're a wakeboard and water ski company, so those are the type of boats that we build here. And I actually head up our team, our professional athlete team, and then our promotional team across the country. So it's a lot of different hats on different days and a lot of babysitting. But it's a great job. I mean, I love it. I've been in the industry since I moved to Florida in 94, and I was a wakeboarder back in the day and, a rep. I worked in retail at a board shop. So I've been in the industry for about 20 some years, and I just love it.
Wow, that's super cool. That does sound like a lot of sort of different things that you have to do, but that probably is nice, right? Like, I feel like if you have a lot of variety in your job, it keeps it interesting. So it's like you don't get tired of it maybe as quickly.
For sure. When I was
in a job where you just sit and do the same thing every day, like
absolutely.
Me.
I did the retail thing for about 10 and a half years, and it was Groundhog Day every day. Mm-hmm. So this one's definitely, every day is different. So it's a, pretty interesting.
Yeah. Even when we were scheduling this podcast, you're like, yeah, I just got back from this and then I'm going to be going on, have to go out to here. So it sounds like you do a decent amount of traveling and stuff too.
Yeah. And finally, we're open back up and we have quite a few events going on this year. I just got back from Captiva, which I'd never been to before. And so we did we do a coastal boat that you can take out in salt water. So we did our coastal photo shoot down there for our new catalog coming out. So there's definitely a few perks to the job, but it's a lot of work for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for elaborating. We're just like, I know there's boats involved, which is the most important part. And I just want to say really quickly, people can't see this because this is an audio podcast, but you did wear a shirt that today for this episode that is somewhat related to boats and also very close to my heart. Do you want to tell the people about your shirt today?
Sure. It's my Captain Ron shirt.
Yay. And listeners of this podcast will know probably that Captain Ron is what I stole the sign off for this show from, because that movie is amazing and has many quotable quotes. It's one of my favorite movies. So thank you for wearing a Captain Ron shirt. Also, where do I get that shirt?
This one I picked up, I believe, at the Chive, which is just a website that I frequent. So yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool shirt. I love the movie. So, usually I'm in one of my, my Back to the Island merch shirts.
Right. There are a lot of shirts.
There are. And I got a stack of them and, been wearing those, super comfortable and soft. They're so soft.
Yeah. I feel like, we've had some I've heard some people being like, oh, they're kind of expensive or whatever, but that's because Dan only picks like really good quality shirts that are really soft and comfortable. Like, yeah, if you want to spend $10 or $20 less on a shirt, you can have like a horrible, thick, scratchy cotton shirt, but these are like the softest shirts ever. So it's totally worth it in my opinion.
And it is. And to me, it's, I think it's, the price is great. And the biggest thing for me is that it all goes to charity.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, how can you be like, oh, it's too expensive when the money just goes to charity? Like,
exactly. You know,
do you hate charity people? Come on.
I think that's like the point people are missing. You know, they're used to these $10, you know, Big Lot Margaritaville shirts.
Right. Yeah.
That they have there. But, but no, I mean, I love them. They're, you know, everywhere I go, people say something to me. So it's kind of cool to get that recognition too on those.
Yeah. You know, there's a few that I couple on my list to buy. Like, I've just been moving for the last month, and which is a very expensive thing to do. If people don't know that, I'm sure everyone does because most people have done it before, but moving across the country and hiring movers and then having to buy new things for your house, you know, it all costs a lot of money. So I'm a little behind on buying all the shirts I want to buy on Back to the Island, but I really want to get in. I just noticed that the, Thin Line Between Saturday Night and Sunday Morning shirt pre-sale ends tomorrow, I believe. And I really want that one. So I think I'm going to probably go order that later today.
Yeah, I have that on order. So I'm excited to get that one in too.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. Yeah. So yeah, anyway, I have a list of ones that are like my like back order list for me, just that I haven't ordered yet, but I want to, because there's just a ton of good ones out there. And, but yeah, they're so comfortable.
I love them. So I'm looking forward, you know, Dan, some of the shirts that Dan's come up with are just everyone I see. I'm just like, man, that one's great. And oh, that's the best one. And I've said that like, you know, five or six times already. And it's like,
That's the problem though, is like, it's not just like, oh, I'll just get, you know, the ones that I want. It's like, oh no, I want all of them.
Yeah.
And therefore like I understand, even though the money goes to charity, like, I've just spent a ton of money to move, so I can't necessarily buy every single one. But it's really hard to decide because I basically want every single one of them. And I love that they're doing some different styles now too, like have baseball tee style, which I really want the Nautical Wheelers one too. That's on my list. Cause it's nice. I'm a fan of the baseball tee. I don't know about other people, but I like that style.
I have one, and I haven't had a baseball tee. I can't even remember the last time I've owned a baseball tee, and I wore it out a couple nights ago and got so many compliments on it. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. And now that I've actually moved somewhere that isn't a million degrees all the time, like I can actually wear a shirt that has sleeves longer than a tank top. Like before,
always a bonus.
Like, are there tank tops? Like, I only want to buy merch if there's tank tops because I never wear anything else basically in Tucson because it's so hot. But now I'm like, oh, like it's actually, you know, fairly cool here sometimes, so I can like buy a baseball tee and I'll actually wear it more than like one day a year. So.
Right. It's so like us here in Florida with like, you know, pants.
Yeah.
So I have like four pair of pants that I've owned for I think the last 10 years, and I think I wear pants maybe, I don't know, a couple days a year here. Yeah. So same
thing. They should do Back to the Island paint, like sweatpants. Oh, I would buy the crap out of that. Dan, if you're listening to this, I will sponsor sweatpants.
Too funny. Always need comfy clothes.
Yeah. And I work from home, so it's all about business on the top half, comfy on the bottom half. You know what I mean? So like I could be wearing like my button up shirt or whatever, collared shirt for meetings, but down below it could just be like sweatpants with like BTTIS across the butt.
Nice.
That's what I'm picturing. Those Too would look funny. Like. Dan probably doesn't want to do that. I think it would be popular. I feel like people would buy it. I would buy it.
I think so.
These are really good ideas. So this is Dan doesn't consult me that often, but clearly he should. Anyway, since we're on the topic of Back to the Island Society, should we just talk about that a little bit right now? Cause you are the head of the ambassador program, which killing it over there, by the way. I feel like our ambassadors are all amazing. They're really just so excited about the club, about what the club is doing, like the mission and everything. They're out there posting on social media all the time. I want to give a big shout out to all of them. I don't have a list of their names to read because I would forget someone if I tried to do it off memory, but big shout out to them and shout out to you for coordinating that, because I'm sure it's a lot of work.
It is, and it's so it's really rewarding. I've gotten to meet a lot of really cool people just in this whole process. You know, when Dan asked me if I wanted to kind of head up that program, I don't want to say I was reluctant. I was more worried with just how busy I was with, you know, my real job and all that stuff. And now a month and a half later, I'm so glad I did, because the people that I've met through this are just, you know, unreal. A couple of these people that I've really connected with on a personal level, having great relationships with them. But from the program itself, you know, they send in an email. We put out a couple social media blasts with, if you want to be a part of the ambassador program, send us some, you know, send us an email to info@backtotheisland.org and let us know, you know, who you are and why you want to be a part of this. And the response we got back was just overwhelming. Some of these emails, it wasn't just a, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm curious about this program, you know, send me some more information. It was, you know, detailed information from people's like Buffett life story. And a lot of, you know, so much thought went into these emails. I was blown away, as well as Dan. You know, he'd get them and forward them on to me. And I sat here and I just, you know, I couldn't do it justice by just sending them back, you know, some lame email or some like canned email response. And so I would, you know, I'd send them back just as long as an email. So it was just really cool to connect with people. And a lot of these, I would try to get on a phone call just to make that voice connection with them and just see what they're about, you know, because you lose so much in just text and email. So I thought it was just a better way to connect with people. And it's been phenomenal. These guys and girls, we're up to about 34 or 35 ambassadors now.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
They promote so much. You know, we have a minimum requirement that, you know, our expectations a month. And I mean, weekly, these guys blow it out of the water. So way above and beyond. And they like being a part of it as much as we do. And so that's been the really cool thing, to see how many people out there are into this whole thing, you know, not only Jimmy, but into what, you know, Dan and we are doing with this Back to the Island. And so that's been the coolest part for me, I think.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see the community that has developed around this, starting with, you know, sort of Classic Buffett, the Classic Buffett Instagram account. And then when Dan created a Facebook page, it was like, you know, blew up, because I think a lot of, at least like I've noticed, I feel like a lot of Jimmy Buffett, people that are like into Jimmy Buffett, there's more people on Facebook. I don't know if it's because it's sort of a generational thing more or, so then the Facebook group, the Classic Buffett Facebook group kind of blew up. And then from that, like the Back to the Island Society, you know, community essentially grew out of that. And it's just been really lovely to see that community blossom, and so supportive. And I am in the Parrothead Club as well, and that is a community I also love. My club in Tucson, I'm going to miss the heck out of them. If any of you guys are listening, I love you and I miss you. But this, somehow the Back to the Island Classic Buffett has really brought more younger people out of the work, it seems like. Like when I started this podcast, part of my hope was that I would sort of get to maybe reach some people more my age, you know, who also love Jimmy Buffett. And I really feel like a lot of our ambassadors are like a younger group. They're more, I mean, I don't really know their actual ages, but probably like my age or even younger. And I think that's super exciting, because I, you know, never really knew how much of a Jimmy Buffett following was in the younger crowd. And that's really great for me to see, because that means I'm going to have, you know, a community of people to continue on loving Jimmy Buffett with, you know, even when I don't have like when I don't live in Tucson and have my club there or that kind of thing. It's more of like an online thing. you know, and there are people of all ages, of course, but I just feel like there seem to be more younger people getting into this community.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I want to say that probably surprised me the most with, at least on the ambassador side of it. Some of these emails I got, you know, I got one from a girl probably a few days back and 18 years old and, you know, raised on Buffett music like yourself. You know, her parents were huge Parrot Heads and, you know, she grew up with it. And it's kind of cool because I have an 18-year-old daughter and anytime we were in the car, that's what we were listening to. So she would surprise me, you know, and I'd hear this little voice behind me like squeak out a couple lyrics. And it always just, I don't know why it surprised me. It shouldn't have, because that's what she listened to, you know, because she listened to whatever dad had on the radio. So for me to see somebody at that age that's into it and wants to be a part of this is even just a cooler step forward with it. And there's so many young fans out there. I don't know if it's, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day about this, and I don't know if maybe the pandemic is kind of, you know, responsible for this younger generation getting into it. I don't want to say that that's the only reason, but it seems that, you know, I'm seeing a lot more influence of younger people getting into this than prior years. I could be wrong. That's just kind of what, you know, I feel like I've seen. You know, normally you go to a show or a Parrot Head Club meeting and it's an older crowd for sure. And yeah, that's definitely changing, which is cool because it's the next generation or, you know, two generations later of people that are getting back into it and kind of reviving all this. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think, like you said, I'm not sure how much influence the pandemic had, but I have definitely even interviewed a couple people for this podcast that really just became fans in like the last year or two. And went from being like not really knowing much at all about Jimmy Buffett to like being a really big fan in the span of like a year. And I think that that's really awesome as well, because to me, like my experience was growing up on the music and everything. So I kind of, you know, that was like how I developed a love for Jimmy Buffett. But it's nice to know that like that's not the only way that you end up liking Jimmy Buffett. Like there are young people that just happen to discover him for whatever reason and get really into it, you know? And even like now, it's not like, oh, if your parents didn't listen to it, then like, you're not going to like Jimmy Buffett or whatever. It's like, no, there are young people now that are just discovering him randomly for a variety of reasons and getting really excited about the music and getting super into him. And that's really exciting, I think.
It is. You know, I definitely enjoy, you know, we have a couple of the ambassadors that were actually Margaritaville University ambassadors. And so hearing their stories from when they were in college, you know, they've graduated since, but you know, when they were in college and, you know, to me, that's just brilliant marketing, you know, from that side of Jimmy's camp to think of that and say, you know, we need to get younger people, you know, more involved in this. And I mean, what a better way than, you know, in a college setting like that. And they had so much fun doing it. So the transition from that to what they're doing now with us, you know, it's almost seamless because they're into it. They know what's going on. They know, you know, they're more hip on the social media. And so it's just, you know, it works really well and meshes, you know, pretty great together.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense too, because I feel like Jimmy Buffett music really goes with the college experience, for at least the way a lot of people have a college experience, you know, like his style of music is like perfect for that.
And I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, that's when I got into it. You know, I was a freshman. I was going to school in Phoenix. And, you know, my college roommate, when I moved down, had the Feeding Frenzy disc that his older brother had given him. And we played that. I heard it the first time and I was like, what is this? I've never heard this. I grew up, you know, basically listening to what my brother listened to. My brother's a few years older than me. And, you know, he went through all the, you know, the new alternative stuff back in the day and then got really into the Grateful Dead. And so, you know, I kind of started down that that path of listening to the Grateful Dead, but it just wasn't, I mean, I like them, don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't my vibe. And so when I heard, you know, Jimmy that first time, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And, you know, I went to my first concert that summer, and that was kind of the end of, you know, the beginning of the end, I should say.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That seems to be the story a lot too, is it's either like, oh, I grew up on it because like my parents listened to it, or is like a friend or something just like put it on one time, or like gave me the CD. And I feel like the story is always like, I listened to it and then I was hooked. Like,
yeah,
none of the stories that I've heard are like, oh yeah, like I listened to the CD and then like, I didn't really care that much. And then, you know, I listened to it again. Like, it's always like, oh no, I listened to it one time. And then I was like, oh, this is for me. Cause I think there's a type of person that really is going to love Jimmy Buffett. And the only thing standing in the way of that is just that, like, they haven't really heard Jimmy Buffett, you know, like maybe they've heard Margaritaville or something, but they haven't like really listened to like a Jimmy Buffett album. And I feel like as soon as they do, they're into it. If they're, you know, that type of person that's going to like it. It's not really like a slow burn. It's either like you're into it or you're not into it.
You know, it's funny. So, you know, these last couple of days we were sitting on a boat quite often these last, you know, couple of days. And at one point I was sitting out there with one of my coworkers and we were kind of just floating out there while they were shooting the main boat on the beach. And we were just sitting there talking and it, like out of nowhere. And I don't have a whole lot of, within my personal life, I don't have a whole lot of people that are into Buffett, and, you know, a handful of friends of mine are. And so, you know, my coworkers usually give me, you know, a decent amount of crap for it. So, but it's always in fun, you know. But so we're sitting on the boat and my coworker says, you know, I wonder how many songs I know by Jimmy Buffett. And I was like, I'm going to probably say like 15 or 20 songs. He's like, no way. He's like, you know, if I had to take a guess, like maybe 4 or 5 songs. And so he gets on his phone, he starts playing stuff and, you know, the typical Margaritaville, yeah, I know that one. Fins, yeah, I know that one. And I mean, he was going through, you know, we got to a point where he was like 20 songs in. He's like, wow, he goes, I would have never guessed I knew this many Buffett songs.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, that to me is typical. People that aren't into him don't realize how much of it they know. And then, you know, through that, I was like, you know, check, you know, pull up this album and play this song. And he's like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, like this isn't the sound that I'm used to when I think of Buffett. You know, when I think of Buffett, it's, you know, Cheeseburger in Paradise and Margaritaville and Fins and, you know, all the grade eight or whatever you call, you know, the songs you know by heart. So it's kind of cool to see people realize that there's so much more than just that one album or those songs. But just getting past that is the hard part when you're trying to, you know, not convince somebody, but, you know, turn them on to something different.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like there's also, like, in my mind, because I really like Jimmy Buffett, I always sort of felt like, oh, everybody knows who Jimmy Buffett is, but maybe they only know like Margaritaville or something. But that's not even the case. Like, he's not that even wide. Like, so just this just happened recently. I was watching somebody that I like to watch stream on Twitch, and she was streaming with a friend of hers, and he said something about Jimmy Buffett. I can't remember why, or maybe someone in the chat said something about Jimmy Buffett. And she was like, oh, Jimmy Buffett. Like, yeah, I think maybe I've heard of him. And then she was like, what songs does she do or does he do? And then the guy was like, oh, doesn't he do like the Pina Colada song? Which I feel like is also really common. People think that that's a Jimmy Buffett song, which it is not. But, And then he like looked it up and he was like, oh, you know, like, you know, Margaritaville and that. And she was like, oh yeah, like I've heard of that, but like literally couldn't even place Jimmy Buffett, like generally speaking, when it was brought up. And she's
which
probably,
is mind blowing to me.
Yeah. And she was, I think she's maybe younger than me, but not like a ton younger, you know, maybe like late 20s, early 30s. And so that's like, that kind of opened my eyes, because in my mind, it's like, oh, everybody knows who Jimmy Buffett is. They just don't necessarily
know
like him, or they don't necessarily, right. They haven't really listened to much of his music. They just know Margaritaville. But I think there's actually a pretty big chunk of people out there that just like don't even really know who he is. And I feel like that there's a lot of potential there, that maybe if some of those people actually like heard his music, they would like it, but they just like don't even really know who he is, other than being like, oh, I think I've heard of that person, you know? So that was like pretty crazy to me, but maybe good to know, you know, that like there's literally people that have barely like don't really know who he is, but maybe would like him if we can reach them.
All we got to do is reach him.
That's right. All we got to do is reach him. So I feel like that's why part of why I do this too, is just, you know, maybe someone will hear this that I don't know why they would if they don't like Jimmy Buffett, but maybe right. they'll hear it and then think like, oh, maybe I should check out Jimmy Buffett more. I mean, Jimmy Buffett is doing fine. Like, he doesn't really need the yeah. help, but like, just as a big fan, I want everyone to experience the wonderfulness that is Jimmy Buffett. So.
Oh, totally.
So let's talk a little bit about you. You mentioned sort of how you got into Jimmy Buffett. But then you, you know, became a big fan, and you have a lot of cool Jimmy Buffett stuff, like maybe more than most other people I know. So how did you sort of start collecting, Jimmy Buffett related things? Like, was there one thing that you got and then you were like, oh, this is really cool, and I want to like collect more things? Cause I'm also a collector, but I, for some reason, don't really have a lot of Jimmy Buffett stuff, even though like he's my favorite ever. So, how did you sort of get into like getting cool stuff?
You know, my stuff really wasn't, I don't call myself a collector at all. I just, you know, and the truth of it is I've just kind of amassed a bunch of stuff through the years that, you know, I've come across, or, you know, whether it's memorabilia from a show or what have you. I've never really said, all right, you know, I'm going to start out and I'm going to start collecting, you know, Buffett stuff. And I think in the beginning, you know, I got into it, you know, I went to a few shows, you know, my first summer I went to a show, and then I would spend my summers in Wisconsin I grew up in Chicago, but we had a summer house about an hour north in Wisconsin. And, you know, we would go to a show every year when he would come down and play at a certain place there in Wisconsin. And then I think it was when I moved down to West Palm, and I'd gone into a record shop, and I wanted to put some stuff up in my room, and I'd found like an album. And I think that's kind of what started it. And then I started digging through, and I was like, you know, man, this would be cool if I had, you know, a couple albums on the wall. And that was kind of how it started. And so the next thing, you know, 20 years later, I'm pulling out my record collection, because I haven't had a record player in, God, I think probably 15, 20 years. And I just got, so I have this amazing album collection, and I don't have a record player. So I finally got one for Christmas, and it's been so enjoyable to go back. I mean, I have everything on CD and, you know, on my iPod right. and, you know, stuff like that, and my Apple Music, but it was kind of cool to go back. And so, you know, I have so many copies of stuff, because I would go out, I went to a ton of shows. I've been to, I don't know, 110, 120 shows. And so every city I would go to, I'd always make it a point to see if there was a record store in town, and I would hit the store up. And so I'd go in on, you know, we'd be there for a couple of days, and I'd go hit a couple stores, and I'd always come back with something. And it was usually like, well, this copy is nicer than the copy I have, you know, whether the cover was in better condition or what have you. And so that's what I did with those. Going to all these shows, I was friends with Coral Reefer back in the day, who's no longer with the band. But so I was able to go to quite a few shows because of that. And so I got to meet a lot of the other reefers. You know, I was fortunate enough to get a signed harmonica from Fingers. I have, you know, a drumstick signed by Ralph McDonald, one by, you know, by Robert. And so I put a lot of this stuff in frames, and, you know, had them done. So, you know, a big pick collection from just, you know, being close and catching picks, whether it was from Mac, from Jimmy, from Peter, whoever. And so it was like just that kind of stuff. You know, I have a ton of set lists that I got from the show. You know, I got to know the stage manager. So after the show, I'd always go up and ask for a set list. And, you know, 20 years later, you look back and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And like, you know, I've got to be crazy. It's funny because when I first started, you know, the classic Buffett thing and got on it and was just blown away by what this guy was doing. So I didn't even know who it was at the time. And after a few beers one night, about a month into following this page, I reached out to him and, you know, Dan graciously got back to me and we kind of started bouncing, you know, some messages back and forth. And I had everything sitting in about 10 or so like big Tupperware bins in a storage area in my house that I probably hadn't pulled out since we moved into this house about 8 or 9 years ago. And I was like, oh man, I should send him some pictures. So I started pulling some stuff out. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And the next thing I know, like, you know, I don't know how many pictures I sent Dan, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I am that crazy guy. And you don't realize what you have until you kind of lay everything out and start looking at it and like, man, I got issues. So I'd love to have a room in my house. My wife definitely won't, unless we move into a bigger place. I don't know if she'll let me. I mean, I'm going to put my stuff up, but you know, I have 45s. I had a jukebox in my old house in my garage that was all Buffett 45. So I think I have, you know, 60 or 70 45s in a box somewhere. So just stuff like that. You know, I'm not into, you know, it's not like I have a ton of Margaritaville stuff that I buy from, you know, it's stuff that's kind of cool and it's special to me, means something. So right, that would be more of, I guess what you'd say is in my collection, but I really don't have a collection because there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just kind of Buffett stuff.
Right. So, well, I think to me, like when I say collector, I don't mean like, oh, you're a collector. You know what I mean? Like in that sort of intentional, feel like that implies like, you know, you are collecting things because they're like worth something or whatever. Like to me, when I say like I'm a collector, I just like to amass things. Like I just love collecting stuff in the sense of like, I just like when I like something, I want to have it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so like in this sense, it's more just like you have like a Jimmy Buffett collection because all the stuff is like related to Jimmy Buffett. But yeah, it's funny because I had this conversation with Dan. He, you know, when he did the move from New York to Key West, basically him and his wife got rid of everything and just like moved to Key West with like the bare minimum stuff. And like, he's not really a stuff guy anyway. Like he doesn't have a lot of attachment to a lot of stuff. So like the move was like super easy, right? Like they just basically had themselves and like a little bit of stuff. Whereas my move was like a nightmare because both my husband and I are like collect all the things. So we have so much stuff. And Dan was just like, why? Like, don't just leave everything behind. And I was like, Dan, I can't do that. Like, I'm not that. I wish I was that person, but I am not that person. Like, I'm just so attached to all the things that I own, you know, but like for ways, like because of like what you said, which is like it like means something to me because I got it from an event or a certain time in my life, or I'm like a very like nostalgic person. So basically everything is like, oh, I got this when I went on this thing, or you know, that kind of thing. So people are very different in that way. And I'm definitely
funny.
Like, collect all the things.
It's funny because my daughter is, it's kind of along that same line, like, you know, we just put new bedroom furniture in her room. And so as we were cleaning out her old furniture, I'm like, and I, you know, she's 18. I don't go through her stuff. And I'm opening these drawers and I'm like, you got to be kidding. Like you have, you know, 12 drawers between these three, you know, chest of drawers, and maybe 5 or 6 have clothes. The rest is just junk, you know, and it's just, it's all that stuff that, you know, she had when she was little and she just can't part with it. And I'm just like, all right, when you go to college, like, I'm just letting you know, either you clean it up now or next time you come home, it's all going to be gone. But I also am part of the problem because I haven't in a long time, but anytime I went somewhere, I would always bring her back a stuffed animal. And so I have like 3 garbage bags, and all these things had been on her bed at one point. And it got to be so much that I ended up buying like this like macrame hammock that I hung in the corner and had them full. And then now she's got like her like, you know, core 3 or 4 that, you know, are on her bed. But, you know, now it's keychain. So anytime I travel a lot with work, so that's all she wants when I go somewhere. It's like, bring me back a keychain. So, you know, I've made this kind of hook stand on the wall, you know, so I can put them up there when I get home. And when I get home, I mean, even at 18, she's like, you know, let me see the keychain you got.
Yeah.
So I'm already like sending her down that path.
You're an enabler.
I am, you know, and I've been getting I think I started when she was, I think, 7. I find her these, I have a really close relationship with my daughter, so I'm always kind of thinking outside the box. But I started buying her for Christmas. It's the last gift she gets. And it's a, you know, it could be a big statue, a little statue, but it's always like a father and daughter type statue. And, you know, the first one I found like in a Cracker Barrel, I'm like, oh my God, this is so cute. I'm like, you know, I'm going to get this for her. And I always write her a sappy card with, you know, the end goal is to try to make her cry.
such a good dad.
Such a good dad. But in like a good way, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I've been getting her these things. I mean, you know, I started at 7, she's 18. So do the math. I put another stand in her room for these things. So these are all the things that, like, you know, in life, she's going to have to, like, schlep around from, like, one place to the next, you know? So, yeah, I'm an enabler, definitely.
Yeah. No, I feel that 100% because I definitely still have stuffed animals. And I am much older than 18, but I definitely still have stuffed animals from when I was a big stuffed animal kid. Like, I never really was into dolls at all. Like, I just like didn't have dolls. I didn't care about them, but stuffed animals were my jam because I was a big animal person, you know, like I love animals. So I would always get stuffed animals. And obviously I got rid of a lot when I, you know, left for college or whatever, but I definitely still have, you know, maybe like a bag of like 5 or 6 of them that I just like couldn't part with, you know, because they were ones I'd had since I was like a little kid. And you know, it's that kind, having that kind of attachment to things is nice in some ways. Like I like having those, like they make me feel happy when I see them, you know, cause it reminds me of, but also it is kind of a burden because you then, like you said, have to like haul all this crap around everywhere you go, but also you're not willing to get rid of it. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I wouldn't get rid of it, my stuff. Like, as much as like I envy and respect someone like Dan who could just like leave it all behind, I just couldn't do that, and that's okay. I'm just not that person, and I have accepted that.
I'm that way with t-shirts. You know, I have t-shirts that, you know, I refuse to buy new hangers, and because I know, wait, as I said, that I bought 30 more hangers today because, you know, me and my wife are always fighting for hangers. And but with my shirts, it's, I have everything hung up. I learned years ago in college, I'm like, folding these things and putting them in a drawer sucks.
Yeah.
And so I started hanging my stuff up and made life completely easier. Life hack for anybody listening, put your t-shirts on hangers. It'll save you so much time at the end of the day. So I go in, and every time I get, you know, new shirts or something, the rule is 1 in, 1 out. And I've whittled down, and I have shirts in here that I probably haven't worn in a couple of years that I just can't bear to get rid of. So, you know, when I do pull them off the hangers to get more hangers, I'll fold them, and they'll kind of go into a secondary drawer where they'll sit in limbo for a while until I finally just, all right, I'm done. It's almost like this process I have to go through to get rid of stuff. And it sucks.
Yeah, I definitely have t-shirts that don't even fit me anymore, but are from like my elementary school play that I was in, you know? And it's like, I can't just like give that to Goodwill.
Right.
Because first of of all, literally no one's going to buy that. They're going to be like, what is this?
Yeah, no.
And secondly, it's just like such a strong, I did do, because I'm also a very big like clothes person. I have a lot of clothes. I did try and do a pretty big clear out before I moved just to get rid of stuff so I wouldn't have to move as much. And I did get rid of a few sort of sentimental t-shirts that I've been holding on to, but the main ones I still have probably maybe like 10 t-shirts that are like I can't even really wear anymore, but I just like also can't get rid of.
That's how my Buffett shirts are. I have a ton of concert shirts that are just sitting in a drawer that I'll bust out every once in a while, but I just, you know, maybe I'll sell them on eBay. Who knows?
Just leave them to your daughter and she can sell them on eBay.
She'll love them. So she'll wear them. That's a funny thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. She wouldn't necessarily want to sell them on eBay.
The kids now are wearing all these large shirts and
Band, like vintage band shirts are crazy expensive. Like band shirts from, you know, like the 70s and 80s sell for like $300 sometimes, depending on the age and the band.
What it is, yeah.
Is so crazy. But like, that's the market right now, is like people are really into that and are willing that money. I am not willing to pay that much, but I definitely have bought a decent number of vintage Jimmy Buffett shirts from tours and things that I wasn't even alive for or was alive for, but didn't go to the show, because like you can find cheaper ones, but I'm not going to spend like $300 on a shirt.
No, that to me is ridiculous, but there's people out there that, you know, that's their thing. So, you know, more power to them.
And all those people that have all these shirts that they collected, you know, just because they went to shows and stuff, if they don't have a lot of attachment to them, can make a ton of money right now. So.
Exactly.
Anyone listening, if you don't know about this, which I feel like I've mentioned this to people before, or like sent some of my Parrothead Club friends like vintage shirt postings, and even ones that are like $60 or $70, they're like, whoa, that's so expensive. So anyone listening, if you are maybe older and have a bunch of Buffett concert shirts that you don't care about too much, you can make a lot of money if you sell them on the internet. Just pro tip.
Or make them into a quilt, which is what I've been seeing lately.
Right. But you can't make money on that.
No.
That's just for sentimental value.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's funny. I mean, even Buffett, you know, Buffett's people and his website are reprinting old Buffett shirts because that's like such a thing that's in demand now, which is nice because that's an affordable way to get one. You know, you can get a Buffett shirt from the 80s or the 70s and only pay $35 and not $200. So,
it's cool. You know, I've gotten a couple from the site and I love them. You know, it's just a cool shirt. Lately weekends are like my fun t-shirts. You know, I always want to wear something, you know, different or interesting. I'm in a polo, you know, every day for work. So when I get on the weekends, I want to have, you know, something fun. So, but yeah, there's definitely that vintage vibe is just so nice.
Yeah. I really want them to reprint, that Order of the Sleepless Nights, like sort of crest design. I don't know if you've probably seen it.
Yeah. But, with the shield. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like my favorite design. And also it's from the year I was born. So like, that's like my, and I have a pin of it that I bought on, you know, obviously not that I got in real life, but I bought on eBay, that I have on like my hat or whatever. But yeah, that's the one I would love if they would reprint that design, because that's like my, you know, peak design that I would love to own.
And
you don't see even vintage shirt versions of that, much on eBay. I'm sure I would not be able to afford them if there were, but you like don't even really see them. So, Jimmy Buffett's people, if you're listening to this,
make the sleepless night shirt.
That's the one.
So funny. Well,
what are some of your, I mean, you mentioned sort of a lot of different things that, you know, are part of your collection or, you know, the things you've amassed over the years. But like, what are some of your favorite, like if there was a fire, what are the three Buffett related things that you would save? Obviously you're going to save your family and your pets and stuff first, but then after that, what are the three Buffett related things from your collection that you would save over everything else?
That's tough.
I didn't prepare you for this. So if you come up with one or two, that's fine.
I like the curveball. I do have a Martin guitar, one of the first Jimmy Buffett guitars they did back in 98. Wow. I got that in 2000. I didn't start playing guitar. And I suck at it. and I can play a few songs, but I have to have things in front of me so I can see. But I'm not very good, but it's all in private. You know, I definitely won't play public for anybody. But I love the guitar. I started playing a couple years before that. And it was one of those things where I said, if I continue to be into this and play, then I'll buy myself a nice guitar eventually. And I was able to find one. So back in like 2000. So that guitar would definitely be probably the first thing I grab.
Okay.
I think my signed copy of Down to Earth would probably be my second.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And probably I have a picture with Ralph McDonald in a frame with a signed his percussion stick and drumstick. It's not really a drumstick, but it's more of like just kind of a different shape stick. But probably that. If I had to, you know, if those are the only three things I could grab, would be those things probably.
Yeah. Those are all really great choices.
Yeah, and there'd be a lot of really cool stuff probably ruined. I'd be super bummed out.
Obviously, let's hope that that's never happens.
Great. Sure now I need to go out and get like a fire safe, you know.
Have you told your insurance about any of this? Because I'm just asking because this is a thing that I'd never thought of before, but we just bought this house. I mean, my husband has a lot of stuff that's worth a ton of money. He is also very much a collector type and he's very into like pop culture stuff. So he has a lot of like, art prints and statues and even like old video games that are worth hundreds of dollars, graphic novels that are worth a ton of money. Like if you added up all of the stuff that he has, it would be a lot of money. People listening, don't come rob us. It just sort of came to light because we moved, the place we lived before was very small and we moved into a house that's like twice the size. So a lot of stuff that had been in storage for years is now getting like unpacked and displayed. And he just randomly will be like, I wonder how much this is worth and look it up. And it's like, oh, $300. And he bought it for like $40, like a few years ago or something. Like stuff is just that kind of stuff, especially like video games and stuff is kind of crazy how that can just be worth a ton of money. If it's like a special edition or something. And so we're realizing that like, maybe we need to like take an inventory and like send it to our homeowner's insurance, because if there ever was some kind of fire or accident or burglary or something, like we actually have a lot of money's worth of stuff. And if you don't have kind of like a inventory list of it, it's a lot harder to like make a claim, I guess, afterwards. So like, is that something you've thought about? Like, have you done that?
I have not. Anybody listening, if you come rob me, I do have guns, so I will protect my property.
Don't rob Anthony, you guys.
No, but you know, I haven't thought of it, and it's one of those things that I look at and it's like, I don't even know what, you know, if you could put a price on this. Like, right. Not saying that it's like this priceless collection, but like, what's it really worth? You know, the albums I can see, the guitar I can see, but other stuff that, you know, really has no worth. You know, I have some really cool albums that are signed by, you know, I have Mac's first album that he signed for me.
Oh, cool. My favorite.
I love Mac. So I have, you know, a lot of the first albums from the Reefers before they were Reefers. you know, all signed. I, you know, obviously I was fortunate enough to meet these guys and to have some, you know, some cool stuff. So, you know, I have stuff signed from Ralph and from Peter and Jim and,
yeah.
and you know, Roger Guth from, you know, before they were with Jimmy. And so that kind of stuff, you know, I have that really isn't worth anything to anybody but me. You know, like I could find Mac's album on eBay for, you know, $6 or $8, I'm sure, you know, so, and I don't want to buy something that's signed to somebody else. So, I mean, again, it's,
oh, like it says like to Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Mac.
and you know,
right,
that
so
kind
like
of
really one of a kind.
Yeah. I mean, and one of a kind to me, you
right.
know, and the majority of the stuff that I have is probably one of a kind to me. You know, it's stuff that I just enjoy. So, but no, to get back to your question, I've never looked into it. I probably should. I mean, I think the guitar is probably the thing that's worth the most money that I have. I don't know. I've seen what they go for, but you know, they go up and down. So, I mean, I have
yeah.
a ballpark idea of what I could sell it for if I chose to. So that's probably the only thing that is really has any, you know, big value to it. So,
yeah, that makes sense. It's more like you said, like a personal value to you because it was part of an experience in your life. And it's, if it's signed, it's signed to you.
Exactly.
I mean, which makes it way better. And I don't really, I'm not a person that's like, oh, this is worth a ton of money. Like I've never been interested in like collecting signatures or something because it's worth money. It would more be because like it would mean something to me personally. So I totally get that. And I definitely didn't mean to make it seem like it's about the money that your collection
oh, no.
is worth. It's just, that's a thing that like I had never thought about before. And now we're like having to think about it in our own lives. So I was just curious if that was a thing most people were on top of. And I just like had never thought about
I'm
it.
Sure they are, but I'm not one of I'm always the one that, you know, I learned too late and I'm just like, oh man, I probably should have looked into that. Now it's too late, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As I'm
yeah,
sitting
I'm,
with
I'm
a,
that kind of person too. So.
As I'm sitting with a, you know, a melted pile of wax, you know?
You're like, oh shoot. Well, I mean,
start.
I think you can still make a claim. It's just easier if they like have a record ahead of time. So you're not just like, oh yeah, I totally owned this thing that now you can't prove that
I mean, I do have pictures of everything I have just because, you know, from going back to sending Dan stuff and just some, you know, again, with these ambassadors, you know, we're always trading stuff back and forth, you know, pictures
yeah.
and, you know, something will come up. I'm like, oh, you mean like this? And, you know, it's always pretty funny to get that reaction out of somebody. And I'm just like, and I just sit there and shake my head. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you are that guy. I'm like, you gotta stop. But
it's
funny
I
though.
Guess it's true that like if something ever happened, you could just refer your insurance company to Dan because he's probably
it's, yeah he's probably
all
got
the
all the
things
pictures
that you own.
Exactly.
He could be like, oh yeah, it was this and this, and he definitely owned this.
Too
I feel like
funny.
Dan's building up a pretty good collection of stuff too, partly because you're just like sending him things.
His vinyl collection, I'm looking forward to going down there and just thumbing through his vinyl collection.
Yeah, he's got a good one.
You know, I sell some stuff here and there, but it's not to make money. It's not to, I don't know. I've never been like something, you know, someone to buy something to resell it.
Right.
And
it's more like if you have 5 copies of a record, you know, you want to share the love. You don't need to like have
yeah.
5 copies of a record.
And I've always just, you know, I enjoy sending stuff to people and just getting the reaction. You know, right before I did Dan's podcast with him, you know, I was going through my records and I had 2 copies that I've had forever of Down to Earth. And I'm like, man, I'm like, this guy needs a copy of this.
Yeah.
And, so it was cool just to, you know, it was a way to say thanks for what he was doing and how much I've enjoyed it and enjoy to this day. And also, you know, it kind of brought me back into the Buffett scene, you know. I didn't have that many people to really get into it with. And it was like, I found this community that was just as crazy as I was. And so that was the coolest thing for me. And that, you know, that's why, you know, I sent him that and through this whole process, me and Adam have gotten to be really good friends, Adam Capps from the Under 40 podcast. And I sent him a mispress of Havana Day Dreamin' for his birthday, which was a couple weeks ago. And he sent me like the nicest, you know, he called me and just the conversation we had was just, you know, it was amazing.
He's like the nicest guy.
He really, really is. So that was, you know, that was cool. And that's the kind of stuff that I enjoy.
Yeah. I do too. I love to share things that I love with other people. if they are going to be excited about it, you know, that's like one of my favorite things.
And someone like Adam, you know, who is, he's so into the vinyl and, you know, he's collecting it as well. And it was like, this was like the, you know, for me, it was like, man, this is so cool. Like just the feeling I got from it.
I've added something
that
makes you feel warm inside.
Yeah. You know, but also somebody that would completely appreciate what it was, you know, forget about the money, forget about any of that stuff, but just like, man, you know, I can't believe I have a copy of this.
Yeah.
Like,
just be really excited about
it. So that was pretty cool.
Great. One of the things you'd said earlier, which I just wanted to mention again, when you were kind of talking about how you'd had all your stuff kind of packed away and then you're sort of getting it out and looking at it more, I feel like that's one of the things that's been really awesome about this experience with, for me, with you guys. I mean, with sort of the Classic Buffett group generally, but specifically like being in like the board group chat and stuff is, I do have stuff. I don't have like a huge Jimmy Buffett collection, but I do have like a decent collection of vinyl. A lot of it that was inherited, or not inherited, like they're still alive, but given to me by my parents. And then I sort of started to buy more. And I do have a record player and I do listen to that vinyl, but hearing, like seeing your all, like the collections you all have and talking about it like builds the excitement more and made me want to like build my collection more. So I've like been buying, well, I mean, not super recently because of the move and everything, but before I was like actively trying to buy albums that I didn't have like on eBay and stuff, which I don't have like a huge collection. So there's definitely ones still out there that I like, not even really hard to find ones that I, you know, can still add. But I think that's one of the really cool things about this whole thing is like, it once again is like kind of that community that like has a shared, like it's, there's a difference between loving something just on your own and loving something with a group of people that also love that thing. Like the excitement is just like sharing that excitement with someone else is just like an extra special thing versus just sitting by yourself being like, man, I really love Jimmy Buffett. You know?
No, it's huge. It's to be able to have somebody or a group of people to, you know, and it could be in anything you do in life, just to be able to talk to somebody or a group of people by your interests and have them have the same passion you do. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. It's just always a good, it's always a good time, you know? Yeah. And, you know, this whole Back to the Island thing really, for me, you know, obviously it started with Classic Buffett, but now branching off and starting with this Back to the Island, it's, you know, the things I read online from people that write in, I read one today, this goes back to Classic Buffett, but it was on Facebook, and somebody commented on there that, and I can't remember what the original post was, but it was, I think it was something that Dan posted. And the guy replied, I can't remember his name, so I'm sorry if you're listening. But it was something to the effect of, if it wasn't for a page like this, I would have deleted Facebook, you know, months ago. Mm. And it's kind of cool to really think about, like, people really enjoy what he's putting out there, the interaction. I mean, we just hit 20,000. Well, I say we because I feel like I'm a part of it, even though I'm not a part of Classic Buffett. I'm just a fan like everybody else, and it's all Dan. But you know, they just hit 20,000, you know, followers on it for, you know, I think that's pretty cool in the very short amount of time that it's been up.
Yeah. And, I mean, it hasn't even been a year yet, right? Since the Facebook group was created.
I'm not sure when it started. I think it's been less than a year.
Yeah, I think so.
And even just the back to the island with, what's been 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. It's been, amazing. And obviously, the shirts and, Jimmy wearing them really was a huge push. I think we would have done great anyway, but obviously that was like a huge, validation, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
And to see it, I was down in Del Rey, probably a month ago now, almost, 3 weeks to a month ago for one of the shows down there and, ran into a couple people wearing the shirts at the concert and saw a few wristbands out there. And so I made it a point to just go up and talk to them, and they, when I told them I was part of Back to the Island, it was like, wow, that, it's so cool. And what you guys are doing. And it was just cool to, cause you never know what people think. And to see, people out there like in the wild wearing this stuff was like pretty awesome. So yeah. We had a blast.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm hoping, because I'm kind of like far away. I'm like on the opposite side of the country from probably the majority of
the concerts,
like the epicenter of, what, like the kind of, I mean, not that there's not people from all over the country that are joining, but, Jimmy doing concerts and kind of, I just feel like the East Coast and especially, like Southeast is kind of, there's a lot more going on there.
Well, everything's open here.
Oregon, there's like not as, well, just like even with like clubs and shows and, there's just not as much of like a collected unified fan base up here, I feel like. But hopefully I will find the people.
If not, maybe you can start something.
Maybe. I mean, there is a Parrothead Club chapter in Portland, I believe, but there's not one in Bend. But I did find someone that's doing house concerts, so I'm pretty excited about that in Bend.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So maybe through that I can meet some more, Buffett fans and stuff. So we'll see. I can hopefully spread some Back to the Island love up in the Northwest.
There you go. They need it up there.
Yeah. Well, we're at about an hour. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. And it's always lovely to chat with you.
It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Feel like I could just have Back to the Island board on every episode and like we would just have awesome conversations, but I'm sure the listeners are like, okay, like let's hear some other people that aren't on the Back to the Island board at this point. So don't worry, listeners, I'm going to try and get some different guests, but it was really a pleasure to have you. And do you want to plug maybe where people, if they're interested in becoming an ambassador, can go, and then also just where people can find you personally if they want to follow you?
Sure. On Instagram, my handle is Twanmon, and it's TWANMON. And Facebook, I'm just Anthony Monaco. If you want to be a part of Back to the Island, you can always go to backtotheisland.org and sign up as a member there. If you're interested in the ambassador program, just send us an email at info@backtotheisland.org and tell us about yourself. Maybe a little backstory on who you are and why you want to be an ambassador and be part of it. We love getting the emails. So definitely if you're out there and you want to be a part of something that is all for charity and just a great community to be a part of, hit us up. We're always looking for ambassadors.
Yeah. And anyone that's listening that was maybe like, that sounds kind of cool, but I'm not really sure. Now you know who is on the other end of that. You know that Anthony is a really cool and nice person. So don't feel intimidated or anything. Like just if you're interested, send him an email because
absolutely.
Everyone over here is real nice.
At least I think so.
Maybe I'm biased, but
no, everybody I've dealt with and that I deal with on a daily basis, it's just a fun thing to be a part of. And, on a personal side for me, I work a lot. It's always work and family for me, just like everybody else out there. And this has given me just a fun outlet, something that I'm passionate about and just really got behind. So, I appreciate, Dan for bringing me into this mix and let me be a part of something that I feel good at the end of the day doing. You know, it's like I said, you know, I think I've, for a long time, I've wanted to do something for charity, and you sit and you try to find something that kind of fits in with your mindset. And for me personally, at the end of the day, I just never ended up doing anything because I just kept looking and looking. And so now I finally found something. So it's great to be a part of it for sure.
Yeah. And it really is, like, as much as we're all having fun and back to the island, you know, we love Jimmy, like the thing is really about giving back. It's, you know, even in our little mantra. So that's like the driving factor is, you know, we're not just doing this. We're not doing this for personal gain or anything. It's really just to raise, to have a good time, but also to raise money for the charities that Back to the Island supports. So
absolutely,
you can't go wrong.
Giving back, going back, and throwing it back.
That's right.
So, love it.
That's it. All right. Well, thanks again for being on. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure you and I will talk again soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. All right. So thanks again to Anthony for being on. If you are interested in the ambassador program, go check that out. If you are interested in doing a sponsorship or something with Back to the Island, we have lots of options there. You can contact me or John Ross, or really anyone from the board can get you hooked up with that. And, you know, it's just for charity. So it's all cool. But yeah, thank you for being here this week. I hope you enjoyed this new episode. I felt a little rusty not having done this for, I think, 5 weeks or something in a row. So hopefully, other than me saying like all the time, it wasn't too difficult to listen to. I'm going to be trying to come back at you with new content now that I've sort of gotten settled somewhat here. I'm going to be trying to go back to weekly episodes. So we'll see that how that goes. I'm trying to get some new guests lined up. And as always, like, if there's anyone that you think would be a really good guest, you can reach out to me and let me know. It doesn't mean that I necessarily can or will have them on right away, but I'm definitely always happy to listen to suggestions. Also, if you suggested someone like 6 months ago and you haven't heard them on the podcast, there's a very good chance that my life was just crazy and I forgot. So feel free to resuggest someone if there was someone that I was like, oh yeah, I could have them on. And then they just were never on. Cause the chances are that I just forgot that was a thing. So thanks so much, Anthony. Thanks everyone for listening. You can, if you want to find me on the interwebs, the social media interwebs, not the podcast interwebs. You can follow me at Blame It On Buffett Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or you can just search Blame It On Buffett Podcast on Facebook. You can email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com. Like I said, you can use the voice message option, but if you just want to go old school, send an email. Happy to get your emails. I get some emails with people just saying like, hey, I have this cool Buffett story I want to tell you, or hey, you know, I have this thing that I want to talk about. You know, I can't always have everyone on the podcast, but certainly if there's something that you're really excited about, if you're a musician, or, you know, you have something going on that's, you know, like, we can talk about it. So, you can reach out to me there, or you can message me on social media. Go check out Back to the Island if you are interested in that. And I know that I talk about it a lot on the podcast, and it's just because it's a cause that I care about. We're doing it to raise money for charity. So, but I promise I will be trying to get some guests on that aren't just my friends from Back to the Island. So I'm hoping to have some musicians and just other guests coming up soon. So yeah, I think that is everything. Hope everyone out there is having a great Sunday or Monday if you're listening to this on Tiki Man Radio, which you can at on Mondays at 7 p.m. And remember, until next time, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero.